Americans began creating their own constitutional order in 1776, with British authority effectively dismantled even before independence had been declared. The Constitutional Congress instructed the separate states, quote, to adopt such government as shall best conduce to the happiness and safety of their constituents, unquote, with a, quote, blank sheet, unquote, to write upon, as Thomas Paine famously put it. Americans had the opportunity to design new frames of government from scratch. In manifold ways, many assumed they were paving the way for a novel constitutional order befitting their revolution. Indeed, so unshakably confident were they that they christened their creation, echoing Continental Congress Secretary Charles Thompson's proposal for a national seal in 1782, a, quote, novus ordo seclorum, unquote, a new order of the ages. Often, due to these sorts of extravagant claims generated by the electrifying energies of revolution, it has been assumed that American independence marked a decisive rupture in constitutional imagination, at the heart of which was a single innovation, the written Constitution. Nearly two decades later, in 1795, Supreme Court Justice William Paterson seemingly captured the significance of this development. Quote, it is difficult to say what the Constitution of England is, because, not being reduced to written certainty and precision, it lies entirely at the mercy of the Parliament. In England, there is no written constitution, no fundamental law, nothing visible, nothing real, nothing certain. In America, the case is widely different. Every state in the Union has its constitution reduced to written exactitude and precision, unquote, by reducing their constitutions to writing. Americans had fundamentally transformed the character of these instruments, expressly differentiating them from the British Constitution they had long known and worshipped. Where previously a constitution had been descriptive and customary, embodying merely a working account of how government operated in practice, it was now prescriptive and codified, drawing bright lines, demarcating what government could and could not lawfully do. It was a clean break. As the accomplished Virginia jurist St. George Tucker would write in his comprehensive explication of American constitutionalism in 1803, quote, the American Revolution seems to have given birth to this new political phenomenon. In every state, a written constitution was framed, unquote, and one that carried clear consequences. The act of writing constitutions down, of systematizing them via language, of erecting clear textual boundaries separating constitutional text from the conduct of rulers, had supposedly given constitutions a tangible, enforceable presence. The transformation, in turn, invented a new breed of fundamental law, one captured by John Marshall when he famously wrote in the Supreme Court's opinion in Marbury versus Madison, quote, all those who have framed written constitutions contemplate them as forming the fundamental and paramount law of the nation. Unquote. Many have long projected these kinds of remarks backward, assuming that even though they were articulated a generation after independence, they speak to an understanding of the distinct character of American constitutionalism that developed in American minds shortly after 1776, that the consciousness they capture rapidly and inexorably emerged from recognizing, as one Philadelphian, believed to be Thomas Paine, put it, that, quote, All constitutions should be contained in some written charter, unquote. In turn, many have long believed that when Americans drafted their new federal constitution in 1787, they had a clear understanding of what kind of thing they had devised. It was a written constitution, accordingly, its contents and characteristics clearly derived from this fact alone. But while writing constitutions down fueled several transformations, doing so did not immediately or necessarily oblige Revolutionary-era Americans to imagine their constitutions as Patterson, Tucker, or Marshall later would. Nothing about the sheer act of reducing constitutions to paper either signaled a clear break from prior constitutional assumptions or automatically clarified anything about those new constitutions. Constitution's basic attributes. Thus, when the federal constitution first appeared, the simple fact that it was written offered only preliminary guidance. To appreciate how early American constitutional imagination developed prior to 1787 requires understanding certain interrelated and complex developments. Americans did not initially believe that they had remade the concept of a constitution simply by reducing their frames of government to writing. Based on their experience living under the British Constitution, especially drawing on it to justify their assorted claims to colonial liberty and governance, most notably during the imperial crisis that precipitated the American Revolution, they had long thought that a constitution's distinctive characteristic was that it offered a definitive standard of authority. What they knew about imagining and accessing fundamental law was embodied in practices that had been entrenched over decades of colonial experience. Moreover, written constitutions fit easily enough with ingrained constitutional habits. Other texts, going back to at least the Magna Carta, had been central to British constitutionalism, especially for American colonists, who had invested their colonial charters and various charters of liberty with such significance. These written compacts, like other authoritative British constitutional texts, had blended seamlessly into a complex, dynamic whole, defined as much by custom, history, and constitutional practice. Meanwhile, it might be assumed that since the written and printed word acquired increased cultural authority as the revolutionary period unfolded, this phenomenon encouraged a new emphasis on the importance of constitutional text that went hand in hand with the writing of American constitutions. But the written and printed word had enjoyed special power for some time, especially for pre-revolutionary Americans. Since the Reformation, confessional life had increasingly revolved around written scripture. For well over a century, written contracts had become an entrenched part of Western legal and economic life, and for decades, people had grown accustomed to learning all manner of information through print. These separate developments had not automatically heightened the significance of constitutional text prior to the Revolution, so there is no reason to assume they automatically did so after 1776. If writing constitutions down did not unavoidably force Americans to acquire a new kind of constitutional imagination, neither did broader cultural trends sweeping the Atlantic world. While writing constitutions down did not alter their status as supreme arbiters, though, the experience of debating early state constitutions did lead many Americans to rethink exactly why constitutions were fundamental. Many began insisting that in order to be authoritative, constitutions needed to be consciously chosen, authored, and agreed to by real people in historical time. This new emphasis on conscious authorship focused constitutionalism, underscoring some of the implications of reducing constitutions to writing. In spite of these changes, Americans clung to many inherited assumptions.